dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
And welcome to a Friday Doug and Daddy Show, taking you up to the noon hour here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 right here in Kearney, and 1550 to our friends in Hastings. Doug Duda expected to join us live from the Quest Center in State Wrestling. Get an update on that as BNC quarterfinals were underway this morning again at 8:30. A&D to follow that at 12:30. Also going to catch up with at the bottom of the hour, Damon Day, UNK baseball coach. They're heading back to Denver this weekend. We're in Denver coming off a 2-1 weekend out there. I got the season started and got some early baseball played, much like Hastings did in the Denver metro area. Also, Steve Weberg from the USA Today is also set to join us. The NCAA football committee, once again, and we've said this before on this show, I call them the Justify Your Existence Committee. They are back at it trying to shorten college football games and basically just tinkering with things that really, in my mind and a lot of other people's mind, don't need to be messed with. It's a great thing. A lot of people enjoy college football. A lot of people make a day out of college football. What difference does it make if the game is over in 3 hours or 3 hours and 28 minutes or 3 hours and 43 minutes? I have no idea, but apparently to these people, it does make sense. This committee is also looking at some safety issues. We will discuss those with him and see, just get his general thoughts. He wrote an article yesterday in yesterday's USA Today, and I'm looking forward to catching up with Steve and getting his insight on that subject. Mentioned yesterday, the preseason college football poll, Nebraska is playing five foes in the top 15, and that's just very, very interesting. A lot of people haven't looked ahead at that. We're going to delve into that a little bit more. Teams bowing out. Is there a chance for wild cards? I've kind of broke down C1 and C2 to see if Kearney Catholic or even St. Paul has an opportunity to advance in Class C1 and also in C2. But right now, we go to the phone lines, and our very own Douglas Duda joins us from the Quest Center. Douglas, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Daddy. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, yes. Valentine's Day is over.
Yeah, no more poems.
Did you have a good Valentine's Day?
Well, let's see. You know, there was eight mats, and what do they bring here? 896 wrestlers, and there was only one girl, so you tell me.
Unbelievable, unbelievable. Some upsets yesterday, and then on the team races, I think everybody about where they thought they would be, aren't they?
No. Not everybody, because you look right at Amherst. They're out. They are out of the team race. They have 37 points and they're still in third, which is kind of amazing. But Howells has 66, they're in first, and then it's 44 to East Butler. Amherst had a rough night last night, Tony, and I'll tell you what, it was almost a disaster. I thought poor Dave Klingelhofer, the father of Chase and the assistant coach, was going to have a heart attack right on the mat because his unbeaten top-ranked son looked like he was going to get upset in the quarterfinals, and got a little help with some stalling calls, and after the first period, he was the better wrestler, but when you fall behind 5-0, so Amherst is not. I don't know, talking to Coach Tom McCann of Kearney last night, I don't think that they're where they thought they would be. Even though they're in second, they're 15 points behind Millard South, and with only five in the semifinals, that's not as many as Grand Island has as six, who is in third, and Millard South has even more. So not only does Kearney have to do almost perfect throughout today. I mean, you got to hope Millard South falters, and Kearney lost all the matchups yesterday between the two schools. So, you know, even though they're only 15 points back on paper, we thought Kearney and Amherst could challenge for team titles, and Amherst is out, and I don't think Kearney can catch Millard South. They can on paper, but realistically, I don't think they can.
Douglas, these were kids getting upset yesterday, I take it, when you look at Kearney and Amherst, or did the better wrestlers win?
Well, Amherst definitely had some upsets. You know, they start out at 103, a match they thought they were going to win. They get beat 9-0. And then you move into the Class D results. You keep moving here as I'm just kind of grabbing my Amherst page, Daddy. You know, Lane Berry, that wasn't a surprise. But then you had the Mitch Lundstrom and Aaron Carlson match. Remember, Carlson ranked number one in the state but got upset by 1 point in the district final last week. And so the way things bracket, he ends up going up against Lundstrom in the quarters. They were the number one and two kids in the state. It goes overtime. It's 8-6. You know, if Lundstrom wins that, he probably wins state. That's probably another, you know, however many points, 15, 16 points, and he can get some through the wrestlebacks here. But, you know, that was a huge, huge hit. And then you lose 2 1-point matches. Bo Sheen and Bryce Dibbern, 2-1, 5-4. Sheen was ahead 1-0 and got taken down with 6 seconds left in the match. It was just that kind of a night for Amherst.
Well, Douglas, on the positive notes for area kids that maybe had some upsets in their own right, are who?
Well, one of the big names, I guess you look at Mike Shadwinkle and Matt Rice at 130 pounds had a great day yesterday. That would be one kid, and I'm sure there's some others here. You look at Kearney High, and you see that maybe some of the kids, Tim Crocker barely survives. Jarek Patterson was beaten yesterday. Brandon Rimpley was beaten. I mean, I think those are three kids that Kearney expected to be in the semifinals and were not. But then you look at Michael Schaefer. He had a huge, huge win over the Westerby kid from Grand Island. Especially in Class A last night, kids that, you know, you had beaten, you lost to, and kids you had lost to, you had beaten. There was definitely a reversal of a fortune last night. I think Class B, you got to look at Hastings High, has a couple of kids that have done very well. Jonathan Uden, even though he got beat in the quarters, that's some big wins for him. And there's some upsets out there, but for the most part, there was no earth-shattering, roof-raising problems yesterday.
Doug, I guess if you look ahead towards things, do the coaches feel confident in the way, saying, like a Tom McCann, does he look ahead and think that they're in a good position now to try and make up some ground, or yesterday just left him shaking his head?
Well, the one thing about Kearney High, and I believe this more than almost any program in the state, is that Kearney High doesn't pout as much as some of the other teams in the state, and I think that's the accurate word. They wrestle hard in the wrestle background. Usually a kid gets his heart broken, you kind of lose a little focus. Well, Kearney focuses so much on the team aspect of things, and not just because we're from Kearney, but I think about everybody would tell you the same thing. Kearney will find a way to get more third and fifth place medals tomorrow morning than anybody else. You wait and see. I think Kearney is going to get second in Class A. Grand Island has a lot of kids in the semifinals. They're setting in third. The problem is they're not going to be favored in very many of those, and they're going to have at least one or two matchups with Kearney High that they can win there. So I think Kearney looks good for second in Class A. They come back better than anybody.
Douglas, I guess, you know, every year we talk about this. Sub-district basketball wraps up last night, and teams head to districts or they head home. You know, we got to wait 8 days now to play these games when they haven't waited 8 days to play a game all year, something that I still scratch my head at. But nonetheless, that is the case that sets up Kearney Catholic bounce. Still have an opportunity to get a wild card. You know, probably the biggest thing when I looked over these brackets is now you've got a Ravenna team that knocks off a Grand Island Central Catholic. Now they have to go play Cambridge, an unbeaten team. And one of those deals that you shake your head and go, well, that's really unfair.
Well, there are two ways to look at it, and obviously, and by the way, Daddy, Kearney Catholic has no chance. St. Paul has no chance to make it in because Fairbury has already used up one of the wild cards. No chance. Okay, I'll give you a swim, like a 1% chance that they can get in. But you look at it two ways, Daddy. Some of these, and Eustace Farnham and Arapahoe from your neck of the woods is perfect. I mean, how far are they apart?
Right.
How far are they apart? But they are in different districts, giving them both a chance to get to state. Where you might run into, you got Giltner and Fall City Sacred Heart in the same district. Now, how in the world does that happen? But you know what it does is sometimes if you got a cluster of great teams, they don't always end up in the same darn district and beaten heads, whereas sometimes you do. And, you know, sometimes it always seems fair, and sometimes it always seems unfair.
Yes, and you mentioned that 1% slim hope for the star ladies. Minden, Crofton, Bishop, Newman, Norfolk Catholic, Hershey, and Milford, they are cheering for all six of those teams. If those six win, Kearney Catholic will be in. And unless St. Paul can somehow leapfrog them by something that happens towards the end of the season as well, and that's one thing that can always affect wild card points is the way teams finish up that you played during the year.
Yeah, you're looking at the only major changes in these wild card points, obviously, is if somebody can move a division. And what that means is now in basketball, they have four divisions instead of three. You're 0% to 25%, you're 26% to 50%, or 49, you're 50 to 65, or whatever it works, 75, and then you're above that. So if you overall percentage can move, then that will move you some times as well. But getting back to playing next Friday, you know, Daddy, this is another one of those, if you can come up with a better solution, I don't mean you personally, but I mean if somebody can come up with a better system, you know, let us know. What happened is when they went to wild card points and these districts got bigger to where you played three nights instead of two for the boys, they used to play like Class C would have been on Monday and Class D would have been on Thursday, which at least half of them would have been a little closer to time. But now that you have boys sub-districts, those opening round bunny bracket games on Monday, that has knocked that out. And there's no other night to play them. Well, you know, when are you going to play them?
Fair enough. I just, you know, it's unfortunate that once you go through the season and you play, you know, twice a week or, you know, a Tuesday, a Friday, Friday, Saturday, and then all of a sudden, boom, you're off for 8 days. And I always leave myself shaking my head at that. But nonetheless, that's the way it is. That's the system we've got, and that's what we're going to have to deal with. Douglas, anything else going on in the wide world of sports?
Well, I don't know. What have you been talking about?
Well, we got an interesting game in Milwaukee tonight between Pittsburgh and Marquette. A rare Friday night basketball at that level. 24th and 25th teams in the country. Teams vying to maybe make a bigger seed in the tournament. I find that interesting. Obviously, the new volleyball coach and Eric Sullivan being named at the university. Ryan Dempster for Cubs fans out there proclaiming they're going to win the World Series.
And Daddy, what gets started this weekend at Thunder Alley?
Wow, that's a PBA Denny's Tour Challenge.
See, there you go. It just brightens your day when we say things like that, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Any thoughts on Zach Thomas and Bill Parcells saying, beat it, nerd?
That's unbelievable. That's just unbelievable. You know, I don't know. Bill Parcells coached the Cowboys and, you know, whatever. I don't know why everybody thinks this guy is such a genius. You know, Zach Thomas, let's totally take the face away from our football team and endear ourselves to the fans. You're not going to get, what an idiot. Okay, that's my basis. I've only known about this for about 15 minutes this morning, so I haven't had a chance to sink it all in. Why would you get rid of him?
Especially for what he's done for that franchise. And like you said, he's stuck with them through, there hasn't been many thick years, but mostly thin years in Miami. And to bounce him out of there and basically saying, we're not going to re-sign you, so go ahead. He was due $6.1 million this year. Surely somebody out there, he was an undersized linebacker, one of those guys, Texas Tech, actually.
Yeah. And the only thing there, Daddy, is that, you know, he had been hurt. Maybe his career is coming to an end. Maybe Thomas also said, I would like a new chance, a fresh start. One thing it does is it's going to get him off the worst team in football. And here's your, you know, I don't know, you can pick a Junior Seau. You can pick somebody that went from one team to another. Zach Thomas, if he wants to play, there's going to be a lot of teams looking to get him on and really help their football team, Dallas.
Interestingly enough, hey, this Saturday Indiana plays at home again. Will Kelvin Sampson be the basketball coach?
Yeah.
What is this guy thinking? What is wrong with him? Is he going down the same path that Jim Herrick and his son went down? I mean, how many bonehead decisions can one man make and be in a position like that?
Well, you just don't know the situation. You don't know.
But you're getting scrutinized for screwing up before this. You don't think they're going to continue watching you because maybe the trust factor isn't there?
Well, you're exactly right. I guess I just don't have a solid opinion on this one, Tony. I don't mean to him. I just don't have a solid opinion because you know what? I don't care. It's Indiana. Do I watch Indiana basketball when they're on TV? Maybe. But do I watch, you know, South Florida when they're on TV? Maybe. Do I care if Indiana's winning or not? No. I don't. So, you know what? Indiana does what's best for the University of Indiana. And that's what it'll come down to.
Well, the rumor mill runs amok. Bobby Knight with a lot of support at Indiana.
That is so stupid. That is so stupid. Didn't we talk about that earlier in the show this week? And why even waste your time? Why even waste your time discussing that? A sports talk show here in Omaha wasted a half hour of my life talking about that on Wednesday. I mean, why would you even? That isn't going to happen. Are you idiots? Daddy, if that, there's no way. Of all the things, there's no way. I'll tell you what. Bo Pelini has a better chance of coaching the Husker football team than Bobby Knight coming back to Indiana.
fair enough. Douglas, when you get back from Omaha, and I know you're going to be tired and you're going to want something good to eat, where's the one place you're going to go to pick up a steak?
Where am I going to go to pick up what?
A steak.
Oh, well, duh, because it's right there before I get to the radio station. I just swing into Troutman's Quality Meats. Are you crazy?
Yes, and it's during Lent season, and check out their selection of seafood as well. You don't have to buy a whole box. Each is wrapped either single or double portions for your convenience. Orange Ruffy, Canadian walleye, my personal favorite, or red snapper, very tasty. Salmon, swordfish, scallops, king crab legs, an assortment of shrimp, and so much more at Troutman's Quality Meats. Nobody can beat our meat. Fresh today, pork breakfast sausage, garlic sausage, bratwurst, the best ground beef in town. Oh, don't believe us? Well, check it out for yourself today. Go to a regular grocery store, get your hamburger, and then go to Troutman's. Drill them side by side. I can guarantee you there's a difference. Across from Bob's Superstore, under T-Bone, the big steer on the sign out front, looking to stock your freezer, Troutman's Butchers can customize an entire order to specific needs for you, the consumer. Get to Troutman's Quality Meats today. Check out what they have to offer you. Douglas, we're going to be joined by Steve Weberg to talk about the Justify Your Existence Committee and them trying to shorten college football again, which I find very, very interesting. And then Damon Day's going to come in. Do you have anything more?
Is Damon there yet?
No, Damon is not here yet.
Okay, well, because I had a question for him.
Okay,
cool. I had a question, and I just want to know who's coaching third this weekend.
All right, I'm going to make a note. I've got it right here in front of me.
I want to, fire that out. All right, that sounds great. Have fun at Fauner Park. Oh, by the way, Stu Pospisil was whining, so he's going to be on the show Monday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a whiner.
Just whining, or was it angry whining?
Oh no, just whining.
Okay.
Just whining. He thought maybe you didn't like him anymore.
Oh, that's the furthest thing from the truth that I could ever imagine.
Hey, and you know, all the local teams, good luck this weekend, whether it's collegiate or high school, and boogity boogity boogity.
Ah, there you go. A little Daytona 500 shout out.
Sure hate to see that thing maybe get rained out.
Oh, real nice, Douglas, for the 38,000 of a NASCAR
fan. That's okay.
Fans.
Monday's President's Day. I'm sure a lot of NASCAR fans won't be going into the law offices and the banks.
Fair enough. Douglas, enjoy state wrestling. I look forward to it. When can people get those reports?
Every hour. We've got probably one coming up here during this break. They're all here on ESPN and KHAS and Power 99. Tonight, though, Daddy, 6 o'clock, live coverage. All the semifinals, also the third round wrestlebacks for kids trying to get in the medal round will be going on. 6 o'clock, Power 99. It's probably the biggest night of the year in sports, not just wrestling, but sports. It'll be a great one tonight. Jed Doberstein, Bill Lentz will join me again, and we'll have all the coverage tonight running from 6 until they're done at around 10. And I'll tell you what, one of the very last matches tonight is going to be the best. Hadley Cooksley of Northwest is going to have one heck of a semifinal match at 285 in the Class B. And, by the way, folks want to go into the Valentine's Day and greeting card business down here from the poem I gave you yesterday. They liked it.
Very, very nice. Thanks, Douglas. Enjoy state wrestling. Enjoy Omaha and what it has to offer.
Okay, go Storm.
All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, Steve Weberg from USA Today set to join us back after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hi, I'm Matt Hanley, head wrestling coach of the Guyana Tiger High School in Maine, and you're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show, and they're wicked good.
You know how Nebraska weather is, so get to OK Tire Store in Franklin and be sure to have the best tires on your vehicle for whatever Nebraska weather hands you. Your safety is riding on it. OK Tires is a proud sponsor of the Franklin Flyers.
Today's broadcast is proudly sponsored by Roger Dorn, your independent insurance agency in Franklin. See Dorn Insurance for everything you need to insure from crop, auto, commercial, and farm. Dorn Insurance keeps you covered. Best of luck, Franklin Flyers.
Franklin County Memorial Hospital and Rural Health Clinics provide acute medical services. The hospital provides state-of-the-art swing beds and hospice services, as well as support specialty clinics and diagnostic services. Your link to family health care, Franklin County Memorial Hospital.
South Central Bank is proud to support all the area wrestlers. See South Central Bank in Franklin for all your banking, including the Visa check card, loans, and savings accounts. Banking locally means banking with people you know and trust. Member FDIC.
Ingram Feed and Seed offers full grind and mix service. Feed can be purchased in bags, bulk, or liquid. They also have Aaron's Outdoor Power Equipment, sales from lawnmowers, trimmers, and snowblowers. Best of luck state wrestlers from Ingram Feed and Seed in Franklin.
Nadine's Pharmacy in Franklin is your hometown pharmacy. Trust your professionals at Nadine's to fill your prescriptions and answer any questions you may have. Best of luck to all area athletes from everyone at Nadine's Pharmacy in Franklin.
Welcome back to the Quest Center in Omaha. Doug Duda with this state wrestling update on Power 99 as we continue the Class A and D quarterfinals. Want to remind you that when this wraps up, we will have the MISCOs wrap-up show here on Power 99. A couple of interviews, and we will give you the results from all day long in case you missed B and C early. Plus, we've got A and D going on right now, and there are plenty of exciting matches going on out there. And right now, looks like Lance Shiflett of Cambridge might be in a little bit of trouble as we need to check match number 161. And I think Lance Shiflett has just been pinned. And that is going to be a big, big defeat there for Lance Shiflett. No, excuse me, that's 215. That is Davin Doyle of Cambridge. So Davin Doyle got beat. Sorry about that, folks. 150, let's take a look at 152 Class D. It has been a roller coaster for Amherst. That is the big story. Chase Klingelhofer was almost eliminated here. The unbeaten top-ranked wrestler at 160 fell behind 5-0 in the first period and trailed 9-7 in the third period and was able to tie it up when the High Plains wrestler was dinged for stalling three times. The first, then the second was a point. The third was a point. They went to overtime. Klingelhofer got the takedown and held on 11-9. Carson Hemmen was the only Bronco to win big. Justin Toppenheim loses 9-0. Lane Berry loses 11-0. Mitch Lundstrom in the 1-versus-2 matchup against Carlson. Aaron Carlson of Sutton lost 8-6 in overtime. Bo Sheen was defeated 2-1. And at 135 pounds, Bryce Dibbern lost 5-4. So very, very tough for Carson Hemmen. As we said, he was a winner by a pin in 5:49. Here's some other results. Cody Barnes of Elwood lost by a pin in 59 seconds at 152 pounds. We move on to 145. Kurt Berg of Callaway lost by a pin in 342. Jordan James of Franklin lost by his 12-5 decision. Foster Meyer of Elm Creek moves to the semifinals, a 102 pin. At 140 pounds, we will see that Casey Beam of Sutton lost by a pin in 1 minute 9 seconds. Ethan Cars of Franklin wins by a pin in 3 minutes and 20 seconds. At 135 pounds in Class D, Bryce Dibbern of Amherst lost 5-4. John Frericks of SEM lost 4-1. Corey Stabenow of Elm Creek, a winner in overtime, 4-2. 130 pounds, Brian Mills of Ansley Arcadia lost 5-1. And Bo Sheen lost 2-1 from Amherst. 119 Class D, David Ripp of Elm Creek lost by a pin. Travis Stidham of Callaway lost by a pin. And then we told you Carlson over Lundstrom. Travis Arejo of Elwood lost. Lane Berry of Amherst was defeated. Justin Toppenheim of Amherst lost. And Mason Arajo of Elwood also lost there in the Class D ranks. A win for Axtell and Justin Swedberg at 189. Let's go to Class A. And here's what's happened for Kearney and Grand Island. Asa Stansberry of Kearney was a defeated 17-9 in the quarterfinal round. So he is knocked out. At 112 pounds, Isaiah Aguilar goes to the semifinals, win by a pin in a minute 28. He'll take on Tim Crocker, who survived overtime 3-2 to advance on. Jarek Patterson knocked off 6-2. He is defeated in the quarterfinals. At 125 pounds, Colin Reese of Kearney wins 8-0 over Alec Chanapatit of Grand Island. At 135 pounds, we see that Kearney's Brandon Newyear loses by Tech Fall 22-3. And that is what is going on the mats as we speak here from the Quest Center in Omaha. A complete wrap-up coming up close to about 9:45, 10 o'clock. So keep it here, 9:30, 10 o'clock area on Power 99.
From USA Today joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Steve, I really appreciate the time today. Welcome to our program. I know you've been following this NCAA football committee, and I found the article you wrote yesterday in the USA Today very, very interesting. Thanks so much for the time.
Oh, my pleasure.
Steve, perhaps other than my wife, the only one that I know that thinks college football games are too long, why does the NCAA want to shorten games?
Well, they've been talking about this now for 3 years, and this is the third set of tinkering that they've done with it, and I think it's perhaps just administrators looking at the time creeping up, because the coaches really haven't been complaining. I don't think the players have been complaining. TV's not complaining, because TV is actually part of the reason that they've been running for that long. I think it's more just the administrative types who are looking at it and seeing that the game is now creeping up to, you know, maybe close to the 3.5 hour territory.
Well, wouldn't it make more sense for them to worry about figuring out a way to have a playoff and not shorten games?
They're going to get the time of the game figured out long before they get the playoff issue figured out, I'm afraid.
Steve, break down this timeline. What are they looking to do with the play clock and so forth to shorten college football?
Well, what they're going to do this year is actually kind of some subtle things, but the primary thing being they're going to go to the NFL's 40-second play clock, which means that, you know, after a previous play ends, that 40-second clock will start immediately to get the next play off, as opposed to the previous play ends, they spot the ball. You know, who knows how long that the officials will take doing that. Some will take longer in some leagues than other leagues. And then you'll have 25 seconds to get the playoff. And they figure that not only is this going to save a little bit of time, but it's probably also going to help the flow of the game as well. It's going to let the offenses dictate how fast things go as opposed to letting the officials dictate. Now, another thing they're going to do, too, and they moved the kickoffs last year back from the 35-yard line to the 30. The hope was that there would be fewer touchbacks and there would be more runbacks, and therefore there would be more time elapsed. There would be less dead time on kickoffs. And what they are expanding on that, they're now on kickoffs that go out of bounds, they're going to give the receiving team the ball, the option of taking the ball at the 40 rather than at the 35, because they found that, you know, if they get the option at the 35, well, they just want you to kick off again, and now you've used up time, and they want to get back in, they want to preserve some play. So they figure they may go ahead and take the ball at the 40 and get going right away.
Steve Weberg from USA Today joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Steve, I guess, you know, the other side of this, they're also looking at cleaning up the game as far as the horse collar tackles that went on in the NFL, that the NFL put a stop to, maybe are ridding themselves of that. Now, some of the spokespeople have told you that it looks like to be a much easier officiated game. Now, I don't know how much that's going to clear up, but what do you get out of that?
Well, the movement toward trying to make it safer has been ongoing for a number of years as well. And what they've got with say the chop block rule, and I'm far from a football official, so I may not do a very good job of explaining this, but I think there are a lot of nuances in that rule depending on where on the field it is and so forth. And this just basically takes out all the nuance and says if you've got a player who's going to be hit simultaneously high and low, that's a penalty, period. It makes no difference. There are no mitigating circumstances. There are no if this or if that. If it's chop block, it's a penalty. And that's what they're doing with a number of these rules is they're taking out some of the ambiguity. In some cases, officials had to maybe determine whether an unsafe play, whether there was intent or not in calling an unnecessary roughness penalty, and they've taken that part out of it. They just tried to make things more black and white on plays like chop block, on horse collaring. That's another thing that they're outlawing now. That's an automatic 15-yard penalty. On hits on what they call defenseless players, and I guess that would be a receiver coming over the middle of the field who, is certainly vulnerable to a big hit above the shoulders. They're really trying to legislate those kinds of hits and those kinds of unsafe plays out of the game.
Steve, will they also get rid of the 5-yard face mask, the incidental face mask?
Yeah, they're doing that. Now, they said that has nothing to do with safety, that basically it was kind of a needless aggravation. They didn't use those words. But basically they said that, a hand sliding over a face mask or just maybe getting entwined in a face mask, there's not a safety issue there as long as the head or the neck's not being jerked around. It's really not gaining any kind of advantage for the player who's committing the act. And therefore, they just said, yeah, we're not going to call this anymore. So it's not even in the books. Now it's either a full-fledged, flagrant 15-yard penalty for face mask, or there's nothing at all.
Steve Weberg from the USA Today joins us on the Duck and Daddy Show. Steve, anything left that this committee is trying to tinker with that leaves you shaking your head?
No, not really. I have shaken my head. They have tried the game timing tinkering now for a couple of years, and 2 years ago they did some things that nobody liked. The coaches didn't like it. The players didn't like it. It almost artificially speeded up the game. It took a lot of plays out of the game. It took a lot of the offense out of the game. Essentially, people weren't getting as much who were attending the game weren't getting as much for their money. And they decided last year that wasn't working very well, so they took some of those things out. They put some other things in. Well, it turned out that they not only restored the time that was being used up, but they actually gained for taking even a little longer than they had the first time. So now they've come back to do this, and they say, "Hey, we'd like for this third time to be right." And they also say that part of the onus is going to be on TV here, and then they recognize that TV taking its sweet time on TV timeouts and so forth are part of this, and I think they're looking at TV maybe. Biting the bullet a little bit as well.
Steve, I really appreciate the time today. We joked a little bit before when I called this committee the Justify Your Existence Committee. It seems like every year there's a new rule that I just shake my head at and I say, what's wrong with these people? But they're back at it again, and we appreciate catching up with you to get your insight on it.
My pleasure.
And now, another unsolicited listener comment on the Doug and Danny Show.
Why don't you do the world a favor and pull your lip over your head and swallow?
Progressive.com, an auto insurance utopia? Well, in a typical utopia, you spend hours frolicking in lush green meadows and splashing around in crystal clear waterfalls. But in an auto insurance utopia, you can compare Progressive rates to those of other top companies all in about 8 minutes, leaving you plenty of time for, well, frolicking. Start saving today at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. That's Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company's affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates available in most states and situations.
When you're hungry and feeling sluggish, it's hard to concentrate your accuracy. It's hard to focus and be accurate. And so Snickers make new Snickers Charge Bar candy bar. Snickers Charge hunger satisfies and little boost. Try being no fatigued inside. Now new Snickers Charge Bar and get back to work freshly as a daisy fresh.
When you need a little boost, try a new Snickers Charged Bar. Feast. The printed material you present to a client is the face of your business. It's the face of your image and the very face of the way you communicate to the world. Lips Printing Service would like you to meet the face of their business, their sales team. The sales staff at Lips will come to your place of business, providing you personal service to answer your questions and to get the job done right. Lips Printing Service is one of only a few printers where the sales team comes to you. On time, done right, one customer at a time. Lips Printing Service of Kearney.
Why pay too much for your next pre-owned car or truck? Since 1981, Kearney Auto Sales on East Highway 30 has earned a reputation for selling quality vehicles at affordable prices. Looking for a Chevy Suburban? Come see this 2003 LS 4x4 for just $13,500. How about a 2004 Jeep Grand Cherokee? 53,000 miles that's sure to please, only $12,900. At Kearney Auto, you can rent a car for just $19.95 a day or use your tax refund to buy here and pay here too. Open weekdays till 6 and Saturday till 4 or call for details.
Welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. Daddy going to be talking with UNK baseball coach Damon Day coming up. And speaking of baseball, baseball weather right around the corner. That also means golf weather right around the corner and a great golfing opportunity for people around the Kearney areas at Prairie Hills Golf Course. They have a new attitude about treating their golfers right. They have a great expanse, new additions to the course upkeep. They're expecting to be one of the better courses in central Nebraska. You can get a membership right now, $290. They start as low as for a five-day week membership without a cart. You can get all the way up to seven-day family memberships with cart rental included. They also have punch cards for rounds of 9 or 18 holes. They have a great new driving range and practice green, and until the weather gets nice, you can go up and practice on their great golf simulator. They're open every day from 8, and they stay open until midnight in their beautiful new clubhouse out there. Go out and see the new operators and owners, Curtis, Kurt, and Nick, 9 miles north of Menards on Highway 10, Prairie Hills Golf. Nice golf course out there.
Derek, you mentioned the spring weather, and maybe not the spring weather here, but somebody was able to get 3 baseball games in last week by going to Denver, and I incorrectly stated they would be heading back to Denver as they're headed to Hayes, Kansas this weekend. We are pleased to be joined by the head baseball coach at the University of Nebraska, Kearney, Damon Day. Coach, we caught up with Jim Bovey earlier in the week, Hastings College. They got 3 games in Denver. You guys did the same. Assess the first weekend.
Well, I can honestly say it was nice just to get outside. Our first game, we really didn't play very well until about the 5th or 6th inning. But it was nice to get outside. With where we're at right now and being, you know, between Foster Field on the football field and in the gymnasium, to just get outside and do some things was nice. And we always like to say in our first games of the year, we just wanted to find out some things that we did well and don't do well. So it was a good week of practice for us to try to get those things accomplished that we didn't excel on last weekend.
Coach, does the weather and not being outside affect the outfielders? There's no such thing as a routine fly ball, maybe, once they get outside. The infielders, that can take a bad hop any time in weather like this, or the pitchers. And you had kind of your ace go out, and no secret here, did not pitch well.
No, you know, and you can either, there's one or two ways you can look at it. You can look at it as woe is me, as, oh, we don't get to get outside, we don't get to get in a rhythm. Or you can look at it the way we do, and so what? I mean, it's basically you can him and haw and complain about everything under the sun, but these guys are college baseball players. They've played the game before. They should be able to catch routine fly balls and make the routine play. And so we don't really want to use that as a crutch or make an excuse just because we haven't been outside. There's no excuse for us not to go out and play at a high level or play to the best of our abilities. And so I think definitely our guys learned a valuable lesson from last weekend, and I don't expect – you know, Ryan Roble did not pitch very well, gave up, I believe, 7 or 8 runs. I think 4 or 5 of them were earned in his 3 innings of work. But, you know, Ryan will be the first to tell you he didn't pitch well. He didn't make pitches when he needed to. And so it was good to see Ryan get back out on the mound this week during practice, throw a couple good bullpen sessions, and hopefully get himself jump-started here tomorrow in game number 1 against Fort Hays State.
I guess on a positive note, a couple kids stepped up for you in the pitching department, a junior college kid from Barton County in Ryan Sheldon, and then a kid out of Omaha.
Yeah, Ryan Sheldon's actually originally from Kearney, and he came out and did exactly why he's the number 2 guy for us right now. Is he just, you know, really stopped Metro State's momentum, did a nice job of really coming out and throwing up some zeros for us and doing some nice things in game number 2. And really, Seth Sabota was lights out in his first start for us. on Sunday in game number two. I left Seth in way too long. Probably should have went to him about four or five batters early, and I was just trying to see where Seth was at and what he could do against the middle of their lineup, and then they ended up, after Seth had ran out of gas, they got to him. But Ryan Cephas came in and shut the door, did what he had to do, and gave our team a chance to come back there in the ninth, and that's exactly what we were able to do.
Damon Day, UNK baseball coach, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Well, an area kid getting it done at the plate for you, Blake Cover. I guess Blake was here a year ago. Maybe didn't play as much as Blake would have liked, but boy, got off to a hot start for you the last weekend.
You know, last year Blake did a phenomenal job for us, and by the end of the year was really in the mix and doing some things for us. I think it took him a while there in the month of February and March to get acclimated to collegiate baseball and kind of knock the rust off after taking a year off. And so really by the end of the year, we started to see what the potential in Blake could be. And I think he's really just parlayed a successful summer season and a tremendous fall season and really has done a nice job of building himself into a good, very good baseball player for us, and a guy that, only being a sophomore, that we expect a lot out of here in the next couple of years. And he's really done a phenomenal job of making the adjustments that he needed to make from going from high school to college baseball. And I think now we're starting to see those adjustments come to fruition.
Well, people are going to see some new facilities at Memorial Field starting in April 1st, you were telling me about during the break.
Yeah, very excited. We just got approval from the city council at Tuesday's city council meeting. And we did get approval to build a brand new 48-foot wide by 120-foot long by 16-foot tall indoor facility down the left field line at Memorial that will house some batting cages and some other things and some coaching offices for UNK. And so we're very excited about that. That's really going to help us. You know, Ken Roth and Neil Lewis have do such a great job of taking care of Memorial and, of course, the American Legion program. And all that they do for that facility. It really helps UNK because with all the separate entities working as hard as we do to make that facility great, it's probably one, I would honestly put it up there, it's probably one of the top 20 Division II college baseball facilities and only getting better every single year with what we've been able to do up there. And so I sometimes think people in Kearney don't quite understand just how nice Memorial Field is, but it's probably one of the top facilities that we'll play in throughout the entire year.
Well, Coach, you got a facility in Larks Park in Hayes, Kansas that waits for you tomorrow. Got one of the nicest days so far of this young year probably to play baseball. You head to Hayes, Kansas, going up against a team probably with a little bit more talent than you. I don't think you'll argue that point. You guys are trying to come and do what they've done. Have not had a lot of success against that program, but nonetheless an opportunity for you to take on a top 25 team.
You know, that's the great thing about collegiate baseball is I personally have a record of about 1-19 against Fort Hayes. I mean, if you want to talk about someone who owns me, it's Fort Hayes. You know,
what was the score of that one win?
I 2-1.
2-1.
2-1. 2-1 ball game. Jason Sturgiadis beat them when they were ninth in the country. But, you know, we've invented ways to lose to Fort Hayes. We've lost twice to Fort Hayes State on intentional. We're trying to walk somebody, and we uncork a wild pitch to lose it. So, you know, we've just found ways to lose. But that's the great thing about college baseball is this year's team's 0-0 against Fort Hayes State, and it doesn't matter that I've had personally no success against them. It's more what our kids do on a year-in and year-out basis. And so, you know, they're receiving votes again. They're a great baseball program, and I think it's a great test for us to really see where we're at and how good we could actually be and going into a pretty tough environment to play at and play in such a good team as Fort Hayes State. So we're definitely excited for the opportunity to get to play them this weekend.
Coach, talk a little bit about coaching third base last week. Kind of a funny story, as we understand it. We had a couple kids that maybe got run off because a coach got mixed up, and it happened to be you coaching third base.
There is a rumor let's just say that I have not coached third base for a number of years. And this year we decided that I was going to go back into the third base coaching box. And I would like to state that it was Tyler Keeble's fault for the runoff the first time. The second time it was Brad Hall's fault.
Okay.
I will not take any credit for any of those. Actually, the whole reason why I'm back in the dugout is because Nate Swear absolutely smoked a line drive. And I guess it was about 2 to 3 feet to my right, and I just stood there. I didn't even see it off the bat or anything. So that's when I realized, you know what, I'm just going to go back to the dugout and be safe.
Much safer, yes.
And, you know, of course, the guys liked me better in the dugout. But, no, I'll admit, I was bad. I was bad down there. I didn't feel comfortable. I didn't even remember where to stand or anything. So I'll be back in the dugout for the remainder of the year. I told my assistants the only time I'll come back out is maybe against the Huskers to get a little TV time or whatnot. But, no, I think I'm much safer and a much better coach coaching from the dugout than down the line.
Well, Coach, thanks for the time. Look forward to catching up with you throughout the season, coming off the RMAC title and, of course, a run and upending the Division I number one team in the country last year. It's got to be exciting again to follow Loper baseball. And good luck.
I appreciate all you guys do for our program. And please let Doug know, I did want to say this on here, Indiana basketball is relevant. Contrary to what he believes, Indiana basketball is relevant.
Fair enough. Derek, we're going to lunch here shortly, and what a better place to do it at the Chicken Coop. Not a bad seat in the house. You catch all your favorite sports on TV at the Chicken Coop. Great food and drink specials every night. All the Coop's favorite. Try any of their 12 flavors of flame-broiled wings. The new ones, bunny, honey, barbecue, jalapeno, garlic, or try one of their famous sandwiches like the ever-favorite chicken tender hoagie, crispy chicken topped with bacon and melted pepper jack cheese piled high on a hoagie bun. Top it off with one of the wing flavors for an incredible taste delight. Or the pulled pork sandwich, roasted pork shredded and smothered in barbecue sauce and piled high on a Kaiser bun. Can't decide? Come tomorrow and try another. The menu's packed with 2 dozen sandwiches and burger options. Try their pizza. It's also excellent. Not a bad seat in the house. The Chicken Coop, Kearney and Grand Island. Back to wrap things up after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
There they are, two dirty boys.
We had nothing to do with it. It was all their idea.
Now your tablecloth is stained. And how?
More dirty deeds done dirt cheap. When the Doug and Danny Show returns at Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
They run for the fun at Bonner Park. Thoroughly thoroughbred right from the start.
Live thoroughbred racing starts today at Bonner Park. Post time 2 p.m. Saturday and Sunday 1:30 p.m. Free admission and parking. Saturday warm up to a good cause at the annual Red Cross Chili Cook-Off with over 40 celebrity chefs serving their secret recipes. Live racing today through Sunday. Bonner Park, Grand Island.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network's firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network's firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
Hey, Golick, do you like saving money?
What do I look like, an idiot? Of course I like saving money. Why?
Because it's red-hot deal days at Verizon Wireless. You can save up to 50% on cool phones, like the Samsung Flipshot with 3-megapixel camera and the BlackBerry Pearl smartphone when you sign up for 2 years.
Smartphone sounds perfect for me.
Here's what you do. Switch to America's most reliable wireless network today at any Verizon Wireless communication store, verizonwireless.com, or give them a call, 1-800 to join in.
Derek, we're wrapping things up on a Friday Doug and Daddy Show. I actually got an email. Somebody says, good Stephen A. yesterday, Derek. Get Derek on full time.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about.
A little love there through via text / email.
I like that.
So, by the way, you informed me during the break that Stephen A. actually got fired from the Inquirer.
Yeah, he got fired from the Philadelphia Inquirer. It wasn't good. And he just said, this is outrageous.
Unbelievable. Derek, we mentioned towards the very end of the show yesterday that Nebraska will play 5 teams in Mark Slaybaugh's top 15 teams in the nation next year. Starts off with the number 2 ranked team in the country in the Oklahoma Sooners. And a lot of people think Oklahoma, they lose Malcolm Kelly, the receiver, and Reggie Smith, the cornerback, the NFL. Those guys, gone. They're going to be playing on Sundays. But you look at their schedule, they don't play Missouri, and they get Kansas and Texas Tech at home. This looks like a team rolling for a national title matchup with somebody. And I don't know if Texas can slow them down or who can slow them down, but I don't think Kansas or Texas Tech at home will get it done. And when you don't have to play Missouri till arguably the Big 12 title game, now barring, I think Nebraska can have a say in a lot of things and how it ends up next year. The number five team in the country, according to this, the Missouri Tigers.
Wow.
They have 10 starters coming back on defense and Chase Daniel returning for his senior season. And a lot of people think that they'll be the ones to challenge Oklahoma and Texas for that championship. Missouri, of course, doesn't play Oklahoma, as Oklahoma doesn't play Missouri. They don't play Texas A&M, or they don't play Texas Tech. So that sets up pretty well for them. You look at the number 11, the Virginia Tech Hokies. They roll in here on September 22nd. And this is a team at number 11 for what they've gone. You know, they've got a couple linebackers that are gone. They're playing a dual quarterback system that kind of worked towards the end of last year. Tailback in Brandon Orr needs to have a better offseason, it says, than they did a year ago. But they've got them as the 11th ranked team in the country, and Bo Pelini's real first chance to a knock off and make a signature win.
They've been overrated since the Vic brothers.
I think you're exactly right. And defensively and special teams-wise, they're one of the best teams in the nation year in, year out. But offensively, there's a team that I think Nebraska may be able to sneak up and get at home. Number 12, they have got the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Graham Harrell and Michael Crabtree. Remember, Michael Crabtree, just a freshman this year. And they've got 8 starters coming back on the defense, although they do have road games at A&M, Oklahoma, and Kansas.
Ooh.
So that does not set up very well for them to come out of that unscathed, nonetheless. And at 15, the Kansas Jayhawks. You know, here's another team that All-American cornerback Aqib Talib and the big offensive tackle Anthony Collins, they entered the draft as juniors, which obviously would have strengthened both the offensive line and the defensive backfield. But nonetheless, they returned 9 starters on defense and ensure the Jayhawks won't fall off the map. They have quarterback Todd Reesing, who had such a spectacular season as well. So that's kind of a rundown of the 5 teams in the top 15. And it's interesting because I think a lot of people, oh, look at this crap. Look at the junk teams, Western Michigan, San Jose State, and some of those teams that Nebraska plays. And then you step back and go, wow, you get in the meat of that schedule, it's going to be week in, week out.
Like an SEC schedule.
There you go. Their team's gunning for you, and you're gunning for them every week. There's going to be highs and lows.
And you talk about spring football, it's right around the corner. Spring is right around the corner. That means stuff's going to start growing. You're going to need to start taking care of some landscaping needs. That's where you go to Curbit Incorporated, C-U-R-B-I-T, Curbit Incorporated, www.curbit.net. They know how hard it is to imagine that this cold weather's going to be gone, but hey, it's right around the corner. Matt and his guys at Curbit Incorporated will help you get all your landscaping needs taken care of. Flower beds, tree edging, pathways, walkways, playgrounds, and sandboxes. They even do water runoff control and drainage. Everything you need for your landscaping needs. After they're done with you, edging and trimming, down by 75%. Won't even have to hardly do it anymore. Good stuff. Bringing life to landscapes, Curbit Incorporated. You can give them a call, 308-237-4805, or you can go to curbit.net to check them out.
Derek, I think we got all the bases covered except for 4 hockey tickets for Saturday night. We got to be caller number 3. We're going to play the music. We're going to get out of here, and you'll take caller number 3 if you're going to the Storm hockey game on Saturday night. We've got 4 for Saturday night. We gave away Friday nights yesterday. And remember, it is wear your jersey to school day. Any child or adult that wears their jersey to the game will receive free admission to Friday's contest with Omaha. So a great opportunity to get out and check out the Storm.
Omaha tonight, Indiana tomorrow, 2 of the best teams in the USHL. Come on out and check out the Storm. Call us now for a 4-pack of hockey tickets to Saturday's game against Indiana.
Storm really beat up right now. We suited up 17 people, I believe, the other night. So best of luck to those guys. Going to have to get a little confidence and turn things around. Derek, we want to thank Steve Weberg from the USA Today for joining us via the telephone. We want to thank Damon Day, UNK baseball coach, for stopping in studio and visiting with us for a minute about their squad as they head to Fort Hayes. And we want to thank our own Douglas Dean Duda with his live report from the Quest Center and State Wrestling. We look forward to following the weekend in sports throughout. Obviously, Daytona 500, we're going to mention it before we get out of here, as Doug Duda would just cringe at that. But nonetheless, we'll be back on Monday. Doug and Daddy Show, 1460 and 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.